Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm Julie Glenn. For the rest of the hour, we're going to highlight several segments from last night's PBS NewsHour, which spent the hour in Florida for special coverage in the lead-up to the general election. First up, Judy Woodruff hosts a special edition of Politics Monday with NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith and University of South Florida political science professor Susan McManus.
And now for a special edition of Politics Monday, I'm joined here in Tampa by NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith and Susan McManus, who is a longtime political analyst in this state. It's great to have you both here with me.
Great to be here.
Tam, so you've been looking at the national map in this election season, but put Florida in context. Why does this state matter so much?
I can tell you it does matter so much because it's not just about 2018, it's also about 2020. And there's this very competitive governor's race that matters a lot to President Trump, because who the governor of Florida is in 2020 will matter for that election. Of course, there's also this very competitive Senate race and a number of competitive House races as well, because Florida is this battleground.
It's a battleground, Susan McManus, and as you know from watching elections here, it's a state where elections are close. Tell us about that.
The last four big elections, two governor's races and two presidential, the margin of victory has just been 1%. There's no other state that is that competitive.
And you were telling me this morning the changing demographics, the makeup of the voting electorate here is what's making the outcome here uncertain.
Definitely. So many people still think of Florida as a retiree-only state. But the real news this election cycle is the rise of the younger electorate. Fully 52% of our current registered voters are from the three youngest generations. That would be Generation X, the millennials, and Generation Z. They're not particularly interested in registering with either party. There are a lot of them registering as no party affiliation. And they are just up for grabs. They're very energized by someone who can talk to them about their issues and communicate and inspire. I like to say they're looking for new faces in high places, and they're kind of a wild card. If they show up, one candidate's going to win. If they don't, the other. That's how much clout they have this election cycle.
And much more diverse than the older generations.
Yeah, the older generations are largely white. The younger generations, largely minority. In fact, the youngest generation is a majority non-white.
Tamara, President Trump is a factor in this election, no doubt about it. He's coming here, but you and I were just talking about the really divided messages they're sending.
Right. So President Trump has two more rallies here between now and Election Day. He has one in Fort Myers and one in Pensacola. The congressional districts he's going to are not in play. These are solid red Republican districts where he is going to go hold a typical Trump rally that is designed to fire up the base, where he talks about the caravan and he talks about how terrible Democrats are. Then you have the Trump campaign announcing today, releasing this ad that it's going to run. President Trump isn't in the ad at all. And the ad is really aimed at these suburban white women who have become a central focus of the midterms. And, you know, it's soft focus, and there's a woman with her family. And President Trump is simply not present in those ads. Meanwhile, at his rallies, he's saying, I'm on the ballot. Even if I'm not on the ballot, I'm on the ballot. Vote for me.
We heard the voters that I interviewed Susan earlier saying that the president is, people have strong feelings about him one way or another. How much of a factor do you think he is?
He's in practically every ad, maybe not that one, but everyone knows that this is sort of a referendum on the president. It's hardened Republican support for him, some who are wavering, and it's certainly hardened Democratic opposition to him. He is clearly a big factor. And his favorability is a little bit higher than this state than in some other places. So surely his last-minute appearances are designed to turn out the base, but particularly in Fort Myers, because that's an area where the environmental issues have been so bad that some of the Republicans voted for his opponent in the primary. So he's got to pull those people back on board.
As we get closer to Election Day, of course, so much of the news, so much of our attention is focused on these terrible events of the last several days, Tam, the horrible shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. Before that, the pipe bomb. There was a shooting at a grocery store in Kentucky against two black Americans. As you talk to voters in the state and to candidates, how much of that division is showing up?
The division is absolutely there. Voters, basically, Democrats think that there is something wrong with Republicans, and Republicans think that there is something wrong with Democrats. It is not just about policy anymore. It's very personal in the way that our politics have gone. You know, usually after an election, you move on. 2016 isn't over yet. Those fights are still being fought.
And Susan, again, you and I were having a conversation about how, for all the criticism of President Trump, the reaction, even to these terrible crimes, hate crimes, is divided here.
It is very divided. And I think what I'm hearing from a lot of people I've spoken to is a sadness about the direction the country's in. And it's worrisome. And it is true that each side sees the other as more vitriolic than their own. But everyone, I think, is just grasping for some kind of reality and some kind of civility in politics. What we're watching here is this turn of events, this heavily violent way we're going to keep some voters from voting at all? We don't know that. Or will it energize? But I think overall, I just hear the word, I'm really sad about America's direction.
One thing that I'm going to be looking for in the next few days is, how does this affect the president's approval rating? The president's approval rating is often very much tied to midterm outcomes. His approval had been ticking up. But in the past, after events like Charlottesville last year, his approval took a real hit. And it's not clear whether his response to these events, where he has said that anti-Semitism is wrong and needs to be condemned, then at the same time going to a rally and saying Hillary Clinton's name in a way and the crowd starts chanting lock her up, is he going to be rewarded or punished by voters for that?
And even today, we've had a shooting into a Republican headquarters over in Volusia County. It just doesn't stop. It's so troubling to Americans.
It's certainly cast a shadow as we get close to this election day. Tamara Keith, Susan McManus, thank you both so much.
That was PBS NewsHour host Judy Woodruff speaking with NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith and University of South Florida political science professor Susan McManus during last night's special coverage from Florida. Next, from rising sea levels to toxic algae, Florida voters have a host of water problems on their minds this election season. Governor and Republican Senate candidate Rick Scott saw his poll numbers slide as red tide algae bloomed. Scott's critics blame him for cuts to environmental programs. His supporters say a Scott win may mean more help from the Trump administration. Next, we'll hear a report from Venice from Lisa Desjardins from PBS NewsHour special coverage in Florida.
Rob Merlino spends as much time as he can on the water here in Venice, near Sarasota, on Florida's west coast. A self-employed marketer, he likes to say the pier is his home office.
Oh, I got something.
In recent months, though, he was forced off the water. This piece of paradise where he moved to enjoy life has been plagued by environmental problems. He showed us the water today.
This is not what it would look like normally. It would be more of a bright green when it's churned up with the sand. This is bad.
And his pictures of it last year.
See how turquoise it is? That's what it should look like.
In Florida, a host of water problems are rising as election issues. The toxic red tide algae spread from the Gulf Coast to Miami, burning beachgoers' eyes and lungs and killing fish, dolphins, sea turtles, and manatees by the dozens.
You can see the green algae.
PBS NewsHour reported on this crisis earlier this fall. In other areas of the state, Lake Okeechobee and on the Atlantic coast, slimy, rancid blooms of blue-green algae spurred health warnings. And in South Florida, there are rising concerns about rising sea levels and climate change.
And this year, the environment has become a political force, especially in Florida's U.S. Senate race. The Republican candidate, Governor Rick Scott, saw his polling numbers go south as red tide algae bloomed.
Scott's opponents point out he cut budgets for environmental programs and that under his administration, state workers were told not to use the term climate change. This is why Scott lost Libertarian and usually Republican voting Merlino, who can't believe he's heading toward a vote for Democratic incumbent Bill Nelson.
I know I'm not going to vote for Rick Scott. Bill Nelson is woefully ineffective as a senator. Rick Scott has been overtly harmful as a governor. So I will choose woefully ineffective over overtly harmful. every day.
We want to make sure that people know whatever goes in that drain is going to end up in the Gulf.
Issues that motivated families on Saturday morning, labeling storm drains to try and prevent chemical dumping, which feeds algae blooms and exacerbates red tide.
Water is probably the most important issue.
Tampa real estate agent and lifelong resident, Republican Deb Tamargo, has built her life around the water and the outdoors. She believes Rick Scott will help, pointing to his leadership during recent hurricanes, saying he only cut environmental funding during lean years and has increased it recently. She believes voting a straight Republican ticket would mean more help from Washington and the Trump administration at a pivotal time.
We have a rare opportunity to elect Ron DeSantis as our governor, Rick Scott as our senator. As long as Donald Trump is in the White House, this is a trifecta for the environment. This is a win for the environment.
Clean water!
Meantime, some Floridians are organizing and rallying in reaction to the growing algae problems. Democrat Nadine Muricki is part of a nonpartisan group, Hands Along the Water.
Do you think the environment could swing this election?
Absolutely. The people that I've talked to in these all these groups that I'm with for clean water, I'm talking to longtime Republicans, and they're voting Democrat because of water. We're not going red or blue or purple or green. We're going water.
These roadside rallies got smaller after red tide subsided a few weeks ago. But the winds off the Gulf Coast are shifting back, again pushing red tide waters toward what usually are some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, and potentially again shifting the political tides in a major election year. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Lisa Desjardins in Venice, Florida.
That was Lisa Desjardins from PBS NewsHour's special coverage in Florida. Next, in the last two governors and presidential races, the winners in the state have been determined by razor-thin margins. This year, the results could hinge on the participation, or lack thereof, of three groups: retirees, young voters, and an influx of Puerto Ricans. Yamiche Alcindor reports on turnout efforts.
Señor Luis, ¿cómo está? Mucho gusto.
Turnout, turnout, turnout. That's the name of the game in Florida. Up and down the state, candidates and canvassers are working to get out the vote. That's because in the last two governors and presidential races, the winners in this state have been determined by razor-thin margins. And as a result, Democrats are trying to turn out two important groups that they hope will make the difference.
Florida is the classic referendum linchpin state in the country. It's almost perfectly divided in terms of its registration between Republicans, Democrats, and independents, which in Florida is a growing segment of the electorate.
Fernand Amandi is a Democratic pollster based in Miami.
It's all about the base here. So the base matters, and turnout is what drives the base. So if the base is not turning out, somebody's going to lose, and that's why in Florida it's paramount.
One key group, Puerto Rican voters, especially those newly arrived since Hurricane Maria hit the island last September.
Frederick Velez is an organizer with Alianza. The group has spent months sending out mailers and registering people to vote. Now it's focused on making sure people show up.
We've had over 26,000 conversations with people who are either Puerto Rican or who are Latino, and those conversations are based and focused on why it's important to vote.
Does this feel like home?
Sometimes.
47-year-old Yvette Alcina understands the value of voting. In June, the mother of three moved from Puerto Rico to this neighborhood outside Kissimmee with her sons and grandson.
I left my family, my house, my friends, my culture. Everything's there, better.
Cilantro.
And like many Puerto Ricans, she was very disappointed by the Trump administration's response to Hurricane Maria last September.
There was not a lot of help for us. There's still people suffering over there. There's people over there, the houses, they don't have a roof. And FEMA, they went there. But they didn't help a lot.
The government of Puerto Rico says as a result of the storm, nearly 3,000 people died. President Trump has rejected that number. He claims Democrats inflated the death toll. Alcina was especially offended by this video of President Trump throwing paper towels to hurricane survivors. It was on her mind when she voted early last week for Democrats. She hopes they'll serve as a check on the president.
That's why yesterday I went to vote, because I want my dignity and respect back. We don't need paper towels. We need food. We want to help to build our houses again. really bad.
No one really knows how many Puerto Ricans have moved to Florida since Hurricane Maria. Estimates range from a high of 300,000 down to 50,000. But pollster Fernand Amandi says even tens of thousands could still prove pivotal.
25,000 votes could very well decide who wins Florida. So it could very well be that these Puerto Rican voters, if 15 or 20,000 of them enter the electorate and uniformly go from one side to the other, could be determinative.
Young voters are another group to watch. They typically don't vote in high numbers, especially during midterm elections. This year, though, organizers are working hard to change that.
Hey, guys, remember to vote.
On Saturday, volunteers with NextGen canvassed in North Miami Beach.
What issues do you care about?
The Democratic Political Action Group is funded by billionaire hedge fund investor Tom Steyer. It's been registering young people to vote across Florida, including at high schools and colleges, in the wake of the school shooting in Parkland. Meanwhile, at a Get Out the Vote event in Liberty City, Miami, young people gathered to talk politics over food, football, and music. It was sponsored by Dream Defenders, a group started in 2012 after the killing of Trayvon Martin. Rodnika Cockcroft, an organizer, said 2016 was a wake-up call for many.
Our generation is starting to step into their power because we realize that those 70, 75-year-old people who've been in power for 30 years are fixated in the mentality that they have already, and it doesn't align with ours. When they're gone, we're going to be stuck with the issues that they left us with.
Dream Defenders ran shuttles to the polls nearby. Early voting began last week.
We're saying if you repeal that, people are not able to be prosecuted.
Along the way, organizers tried to explain Florida's 12 amendments on the ballot this year.
I think that the potential for young people to make a difference in the midterm election is definitely there. At the same time, I think that the Democratic candidates need to give young people something to vote for.
Sometimes people are receptive to what we have to say, sometimes they're not.
Marcus Horton is a 28-year-old Navy vet who just graduated from Florida International University. Horton does not identify as a Republican or a Democrat, but often votes with Democrats. He's supporting Democrat Andrew Gillum for governor. The most important issues to him? Restoring voting rights for felons, health insurance, which he doesn't have, and the impact of student loans.
That means that when we graduate from college, we can't start businesses. We have too much debt. It means that we can't buy homes. And so we're kind of finding ourselves in this position where we are limited in the choices that we can make. That could be a very powerful platform position. There's enough young people now to more young people than older people.
Still, Horton isn't sure that young people will make the difference this year.
I do see a lot more people who are politically engaged and they seem to care about this. But at the same time, you know, you can walk somewhere and you not hear anything about it at all. And so that's a little scary.
Despite the energy surrounding young and Puerto Rican voters, experts warn not to forget about another population.
Glad to have you here.
Senior citizens are a reliable voting bloc that leans Republican. We met one of them, Gary Sisler, at the East Ridge Retirement Community in South Miami.
I tell young people, try to find a passion in life.
He's an 84-year-old former Exxon employee who spent years living abroad before moving to Miami. Sisler thinks people who disagree aren't talking to each other enough.
In my case, I have two college-educated daughters. I know they're both liberal. We can't talk politics, and I've overheard them say to my 10-year-old grandson, don't discuss politics with Grandpop. That hurts. Now we've got weights that we use.
Among the issues he's concerned about, immigration.
I think that we are bringing in far too many unskilled people, uneducated people that don't speak any English. That creates a social obligation on our part.
He's also worried about the federal debt.
Both sides seem to be scared to death to even discuss it. I blame both sides equally. Come on, get off your fanny. This is an issue.
In 2016, Sisler started a monthly political discussion group called Jib Jab. He introduced us to a few of his friends, all Republicans who strongly support President Trump.
He has reached out to groups of people who were forgotten before. This president has restored faith in a lot of those people.
Immigration is a big problem right now. This bothers me.
The Puerto Ricans, they automatically can vote coming in. I'm kind of bothered by that.
What do you think of Democrats looking at young people and people of color as the way to get this blue wave in Florida?
I don't like it, but to me, that's what's happening.
Three groups, retirees, young voters, and an influx of Puerto Ricans, all could have a major impact on election night, just 1 week away.
That was PBS NewsHour reporter Yamiche Alcindor reporting on turnout efforts in Florida. We've been highlighting several stories from last night's special episode hosted from Florida as the general election approaches. You can find links to all of these stories and the rest of last night's NewsHour at GulfCoastLive.org. That's all the time we have for today's show, but I want to thank our earlier guests, Tallahassee Mayor and Democratic candidate for Florida Governor Andrew Gillum, and Nikki Fried, the Democratic candidate for Florida Commissioner of Agriculture. If you'd like to hear John Davis's interview with her opponent, Republican Matt Caldwell, just go to GulfCoastLive.org. We have invited Republican candidate for Governor Ron DeSantis to be on the show, too, and that invitation remains open. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary, John Davis, and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.